Welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast, the original sex and storytelling series featuring real people and rock stars sharing their bona fide sexual adventures. And now, here she is, Bawdy's founder, the grand dame of dirty storytelling, that impresario of pervy personal narrative, sexual folklorist, Dixie De La Tour.
Everybody, welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. We're back. Have you subscribed on iTunes? Have you told all your friends? Have you reviewed us and given us 5 stars? Because that's what keeps me going. That and a fuck ton of coffee. So guess what? We are back with a brand new episode. We are going to give you a tiny peek at how all of this started. You have heard some of the stories that have been told on the Bawdy Storytelling stage, but you have never heard a story from me. It was originally heard on the Risk Show back in 2015. If you don't know the Risk podcast, they're incredible. And Kevin Allison of Risk and I are friends, and we've done a few collaboration shows here in San Francisco. This story was told at one of our collaboration shows. And Bawdy Storytelling started 10 years ago when I was a wild girl who fucked everybody on the internet. Well, not everybody. I probably didn't get to you yet, but I fucked a lot of people on the internet, y'all. And this is from one of those adventures, an adventure with unexpected results. Here, I don't like the name of that story. My producer, Matthew Martyr, calls this story, "Okay, Cupid, there's plenty of fish," but I think that's stupid, don't you? So it doesn't have a name. Listen to this story, and this is from me, Dixie De La Tour. Thank you. When it comes to online dating, I'm not a Tinder or a perfect match kind of girl. I like Craigslist. I like FetLife. I like to be able to write some fucked up shit and get it, because that's pretty powerful. But when I got an email in my inbox that offered me 30 days free of Match.com, I'm like, good, I'd never pay for that anyway, but I might as well see what's going on there. So I put up a description and a picture, and I'm looking at everything around. It's all walks on the beach and sunsets, and really doesn't feel like my people, but I'm like, oh. So I just keep looking, and nobody's really responding to me. I'm not really sending it out, but I'm not getting it back either. As the free month is about to end, I get an email from a woman who says, "I've looked at your profile. You and I seem to have a lot in common. I'm on here trying to make friends, and I just would really like to hang out with you." And I'm like, well, okay. That's what you get on Match.com. I didn't know that. So I give her a call. We have a conversation. We don't actually have anything in common. I'm not sure where she got that from. But she seems nice, and I tell her that, you know, she's like, we should get together. I'm like, tomorrow night, I'm going out to a bluegrass concert, and she says, well, let's do that. She gives me her address. I tell her I'll pick her up on the way, and I drive down to Polk Gulch, which is a kind of seedy neighborhood, if you know it. And she's in the one nice building in this kind of rough neighborhood. And she comes out, she looks like a version of me that's about 15, 20 years older. Crayola red hair. She's
smaller than me, but she's, you know, had some work done. She's rivaling me. And she gets in the car and she introduces herself. Her name is Dee Dee. And we chat on the way. We end up in this bar listening to a bluegrass band and we're having red wine and get to know each other. And she tells me that she was a doctor's wife and that she got divorced about 2 years ago and he got all the friends in the divorce and she's been really lonely since then. She told me about a year ago she'd met a younger, much younger guy. So they lived together. She said, but about 4 months ago, he decided he wasn't attracted to me anymore. So he just stopped having sex with me. And I'm like, wait, you're paying all the bills and everything? Like, you're the sugar mama and he's nothing? And she's like, no, he's not attracted to me. So it's been a while since I've had sex. And I say, well, it's a good thing you live so close to the power exchange. And she says, what's the power exchange? And on my fourth glass of red wine, I say, it's the place we're going next. For those of you who don't know the power exchange, it is a, well, at the time it was a four-story sex dungeon. I'm not sure it's still four stories because it's changed locations, but it is a sex dungeon. It is a sex warehouse. Every floor has something different going on it. It is massive. And you could pretty much go in till the very, very wee hours, almost sunrise, and get just about anything you're looking for in there. And so I tell her on the way what she's about to encounter, and I'm explaining, like, it's, you know, sex, there's BDSM, there's all kinds of activities. And she's just like, how do you know about this? And I have to say, there's two reasons. One is I was a Southern girl, the only daughter with five brothers. I'm a little bit rebellious. The boys got different treatment, so I'm always like, I can do anything a man could do. I can walk into a sex dungeon, and often did. Right? I like these people over here. And the other reason is I love to play tour guide to weird shit. I love taking a brand new person in and walking them through, and Dee Dee's on my arm, and I'm just like, we go through. Women get in free, so that worked out. And we walk in, and I'm like, this is the rumpus room. This is the room where you can chat on a red velvet couch and have a Coke. There's a Coca-Cola machine for you. And there's a strip pole, so if you want to get on there and, you know, do a little dance, that's cool, too. And I'm taking her through. This is the Frankenstein room. There's, like, it's a comic book. It makes no sense. Some guy who thought comic books were cool created a sex club. So you go around the corner, there's Frankenstein, and then there's a leather sling that you can climb in and get fucked. And we go through the first floor, and then we go downstairs into the dungeon. And it is all of these spaces where you can play, many of them behind hurricane fence, so you can just put your little fingers in the fence and peer through and watch God knows what. So I'm showing her somebody sitting in a barber chair having their pussy eaten while somebody kneels at her feet and she's watching it. And all these guys start coming up to us in short towels. Almost entirely male. This is not that surprising. They're all wandering around in towels and they see two women by themselves in this club and they start pouring over to us like, hey, hey, hey. And I go to say, we're not interested. And as I do, I turn around and Dee Dee's talking to a guy. And the guy she's talking to has got gold chains and tufts of hair. And he looks like he's about 19 years old. Got his hair slicked back with a lot of grease. I'm like, hey. And she comes back over and she goes, this guy wants to go talk to me. I'm like, you should go on with him then if you want to. And she goes, I don't want to leave you here alone by yourself. I'll be fine. So she wanders off with this guy, and I'm like, happy for her, you know? She seemed like she was down for some adventure, and she might be getting it. And so now I'm a single woman walking around by myself in a sex dungeon. And all the guys who were coming up going, hey, 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 are really coming up and going, hey, 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 Red, hey. And I'm getting a little bristly, you know? I end up in front of this scene. There's this master in front of this totally naked woman, and he's running a knife all over her, and she's making ooh and all noises. And I'm the only girl standing up against this hurricane fence. And all the guys are like, whoa. They're like making comments at me, and I'm just like, I'm gonna punch somebody in the face. And there's this guy a couple people down from me, and he starts making jokes about what's going on very quietly, very respectfully. But he's just like kind of running jokes about the knife and what we're watching. And I'm bristling at him, too, until he kind of cracks me up a little bit. It seems kind of clever. And he also seems like he's engaging with me, but he's not really hitting on me. And so he kind of comes over and we're talking a little bit, and he introduces himself. His name is Alan. He's like tall, dark hair, very hairy chest, wearing a tiny little towel, too. And I'm starting to warm up to this dude. Not that long later, somebody who looks like a prospector from the Old West comes up to me. And he stands in front of me and he waits for a break in the conversation. And I eventually go, yeah. And he goes, hey, guess what? I'm like, what? He goes, your friend's on TV. My friend's on TV. He goes, yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Takes me a couple minutes to put it together. And then I go, oh, shit. And I grab Alan, the guy that I'm talking to, and I walk up to this wall of closed circuit TVs that are behind fence. There's like 16 of them. And they're all showing the action that is going on the other side of the wall from these TVs. I'm looking for my friend on TV, and I don't see her. All I see is a lot of men looming over something. And I'm like, oh, shit. I go around the wall. I go into the room. There's like 60 guys in this room. And when I enter the room, they go, here's another one. And they start yanking at my clothes, and I start throwing punches. And then Alan, the guy with me, goes, get your hands off her. And I'm just like, gallant man in a sex dungeon. I got to remember this. That is my flavor. I start trying to push through to look for my new friend. And it's a very packed room. In the center of it, which I can't see, but I already know, is there is a leather, giant king-size leather bed. I want y'all to go back to grade school. Do you remember that video they showed you in health class of 9 million sperms all going after the same egg? Well, Dee Dee is the egg. When she'd explained to me, you know, I really like this kind of music and I like this book, this was not discussed. I start pushing through, and as I get closer to her, I see this behavior I cannot believe, which is the guy who is fucking her is fucking away, and every other egg is just kind of gyrating in that way they do, like, it's going to come available soon, I'm going to get it, but they don't want to touch the guy in front of them, so they're like, I want it, they're all like moving in this way. And as the guy who's fucking her starts taking shorter strokes, the other guys are like, oh, here it comes. Here's my opportunity. Here it comes. And he's trying to back up when he's done, but he can't because. So they're all like, somebody lands in again. The other guy kind of wants, and the other is like, okay, stop vibrating so much. Our turn's next. I'm freaked out. and I make my way around. Surprisingly, her mouth is available to speak to me. And I come up next to her and I go, "Hey, Dee Dee, how you doing?" And she's talking, but like this is going on, so it's like constantly moving. She's like, "I am so good." Really, this is good. This is what you want. She goes, "This is fucking awesome." Alan's kind of standing next to me and he's looking at me like, "This is your friend?" And I'm like, I'm like, "Everything here is cool. This is what you want to happen." And she nods her head as she's getting pounded away. I don't know what number we're on because I came in late. But this guy is starting to give the shorter. I pause for a minute to watch him depart, the next one arrive, and say, "So, do you want me to stay here? Do you want me to take care of you? Do you need anything?" And she's like, "I don't need a thing." And I'm like, "So, tell you what, I'm going to go upstairs and talk to this man I just met, and I'm going to take your glasses and your purse. So you don't get robbed while you're gangbanged." She's like, "That is a good idea." I gather together her belongings other than her clothes and I start pushing my way through and Alan is right behind me and we get out of the room and we're looking at each other in shock going, "Did that actually just happen?" I'm like, "Let's go upstairs to the rumpus room and have a little conversation and a Coca-Cola." So we end up upstairs. We're at a high table that's got like three bar stools. We're saving one for her. Put her stuff on it. And he and I start having a conversation. He is a lovely man who's about to move to Germany. He is intelligent. He's well-read. We are having a non-sexual conversation in a sex club while every once in a while a group of men will walk up and go, "Love to play with the pretty lady." And I'd go, "Get the fuck away from me." And we talk for hours. And after all those hours, eventually we see Dee Dee come through the doorway of this very long room. She's walking all the way over to our table. And she is walking like she's been riding a horse for a couple of months. When she gets over, she goes to the stool that's available for her. When she sits down, she goes, "Oh!" I try not to laugh. I'm like, "How are you?" She's like, "I'm good." She's either sheepish or she's tired. She's just like, "I'm good." I'm like, "So what was your grand total?" She's like, "Grand total of what?" I'm like, "Of the guys who fucked you downstairs in a gangbang." And she says, "3. I'm like, "You fucked 3 while I was in the room. And it's been a while." So she goes, I don't really know. She's not really into debriefing on it. So she sits there and I continue talking to Alan for a little while. And at a certain point she breaks in and she goes, "Dixie, I'm really tired. I was wondering if you could take me home now." And I'm like, "So you know how you're having a really good time down there? I'm having a really good time right now. And I am going to take you home, but I'm just not ready to leave just this minute." And she says, "Okay." About a minute or two later, one of the guys walks by that she recognizes from the gangbang. And she goes, "Hey!" And he looks up. "Yes." Comes over to the table and she goes, "Do you have a car?" "Yes." "Would you take me home?" And he goes, "Well, I don't know. Where do you live?" I'm like, "You just gangbanged her. You drive her to Sebastopol if she needs it." And I frighten him. He agrees to take her home. So she stands up, kind of moving in the same ginger way. And she says, "Dixie, I had a lovely time with you this evening. Thank you so much." And I'm like, "It was also nice to meet you, Dee Dee." And she disappeared through the door of the rumpus room at the sex club, and I never saw her again. However, that man I met that night in the Power Exchange, Alan, is a friend after many years. So it didn't come out as expected, but I think that month on Match.com worked out after all.
What do you think about that story? Was it good? Was it bad? Tell me what you think, because I really like it when people talk to me. Sitting alone in a room with a microphone, not my most favorite thing in the world. But when people send me emails and when people give me reviews and all of that stuff, I feel like I know what makes you happy, and I'm a pleaser. I'm Dixie at bodystorytelling.com. One of the things that you should know about Body, and one of the reasons you're probably going to want us to come to your city, is that we have a motto: Body gets you laid. Pretty much not everybody, I can't guarantee everybody gets laid, but I have gotten so many people laid because stories about sex make you connect. And the next thing you know, you're just going to town. So that's a story where somebody got laid, and it was not somebody at the show, but they got super, super, super laid. So there's that. If you want Body Storytelling to come to your city, because I like to be invited, I'm Southern, I'm polite, I'm waiting to hear from you. I mean it, Gary, Indiana. If you, I'm not coming until I'm invited, so send me an invite, will you? There's several different ways to do it. If you send me an email, I can tell you how to find out how to bring Body to your town. And we are going to expect that you're going to invite all the perverts you know. By the way, a pervert is someone who speaks openly about sex and appreciates sex. It doesn't mean any more than that. We identify it as perverts here. Thank yous go out every single time for the people who have made this possible. Our podcast producer, Matthew Martyr, David Grossoff, who records sound at our live show in San Francisco, Crystal Crow, Ty McKenzie, Terry Angst, Ruben Tan, Joe Moore records our video. And a special thanks goes out to the Risk Podcast and to Jeff Bear for allowing us to use his edit of that story. The music on this episode is from a duo called Garlic Man and Chicken. Garlic Man and Chicken have performed for us several times in Seattle. If you want to find more of their music, they are at garlicmanandchicken.com. Chicken is not spelled the way you expect chicken to be spelled, but it's in the description. You can find it there, and we'll have a link to their website. So people have started supporting our Patreon to help us grow this podcast, and I don't think I've seen your name up there yet. So check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com, patreon.com/body. You know how to spell body. You already looked it up on iTunes. You found us. You know what you're doing. Take a look at it. Look at the rewards. You can have things like sex advice from me. That's a bad idea. Let's do that. You can also have story coaching from me. And there are still a few spots left in the Body Hall of Fame. Want to know what that's about? Go to patreon.com/body and take a look. We'd love to have you recorded for posterity. Oh my God, posterity. If you support it, if you review it, if you subscribe to it, they will come. Sorry. That happened. See you soon. Bye. I'm a little bit sleepy, all right. Don't think I could blow another load, but a hold on the soda. Well, you, buddy, you couldn't come after so much coke and rum, but I put it up like a bun. You, buddy, you couldn't come after so much coke and rum, but I put it up like a bun. You, buddy, you couldn't come after so much coke and rum, but I put it up like a bun with my finger. Like a bun, you mean lick my bum. You can stick it in my bum, yeah, that could be fun. We could bring the vibrator. We
We could hide your drugs later. I burnt the pizza, let's skip to dessert. Banana split with a chocolate squirt. Back and forth, south and north. Come on my ass and I'll absorb.
Mama say it's better with anticipation, but I'm just sitting here getting patient.
So good, it damn well turned me gay. You put it all inside, filled up my body, and I thought, what a nice surprise. I like this exercise.
Get love while you lift me up. Get swole, penetrate my hole. Don't quit, fully commit. Now could you hold this while I fuck your tits?
You know I'm down to get a little nasty.
Gang banged her. You drive her to Sebastopol if she needs it.